belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His forgiveness, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam is His slave servant and His messenger. This evening, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, we would like to continue with our discussion of the essay At-Tawdih wal-Bayan li-Shajaratul Iman للشيخ العلامة عبد الرحمن ابن ناصر السعدي رحمه الله. Previously we have discussed in the first section of this essay the definition and explanation of Iman, and in the second section of the essay we have begun to talk about those things from which Al-Iman is derived, or those things which are the causes of Iman, those things which necessitate Iman, or those things that cause al-Iman to be strengthened or to grow. And previously, the Shaykh Abd al-Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah has mentioned in the introduction to this section that this particular topic is a topic of great importance and need, rather of necessity, that a person should know it and should give attention to it. Knowing it is one thing, and being described with it, taking on the characteristics that are described in this section, also is required. The Shaykh has said that these matters from which al-Iman is derived, they are of two types, those which are general and those which are specific. And as for the general, he said that there are four things: the reflection upon the ayat of Allah which have been revealed, those which are recited, meaning the Quran and the authentic Sunnah. And likewise he said, reflecting or pondering upon the ayat in the creation, in the universe, al-ayat al-qawniyah, those things which Allah has created, whether outside of the human being or the human being himself. And then he said, the other two matters, and these are the two sources, reflecting upon the ayat which are in the Quran and Sunnah, and reflecting upon the signs that are in the creation of the heavens and the earth. After that he said, of the important matters, general matters, from which Iman is derived, is having earnestness in seeking the knowledge of the truth for which the human being has been created, and then finally acting in accordance with it. So the Shaykh has begun by mentioning from amongst the detailed matters from which Iman is derived and which strengthens it. He said the first of those matters he mentioned is knowing the beautiful names of Allah, the names and characteristics of Allah. Because of the importance of this knowledge, he has preceded it, or he has given it precedence over even the reading and studying and reflecting upon the Quran, from which those names are derived. But because of the importance of Tawheed al-Asma wa Sifat, the knowledge of the Tawheed of Allah's beautiful names and perfect characteristics, He has given it precedence from amongst those specific matters from which Iman is derived. And then He said after that, reflecting upon the Qur'an in general, and having knowledge of the Hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, these two being the first type of reflecting upon the Quran and that which is revealed in the authentic Sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then here this evening we have reached the section where the Shaykh wants to continue in the mention of those things from which Iman is derived and which strengthens or increases one's Iman. And he said, from amongst the ways which necessitate al-Iman, and those things which cause Iman, the causes of Iman, he said, from amongst those things is ma'arifat an-Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, yani knowing the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, knowing about his life, his history, his seerah. This is from amongst those things which of necessity would cause iman and would bring about the growth or increase of iman and strengthen one's iman. The Shaykh rahimahullah says, knowing the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam and knowing his lofty character and his characteristics or qualities of perfection. Yani whoever knows about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they know about those qualities which he possessed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed him with as being the example and the model for humanity. He said, whoever knows it, حق المعرفة, yani whoever knows it in reality, really knows it, not just a surface viewing of it, but looking into it and reflecting upon it, examining it carefully, whoever knows it, they would never doubt his truthfulness, nor would they doubt the truthfulness of that which is from the book and the sunnah and the religion of truth. Here, this point is a point of importance, that indeed if one would reflect upon the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his characteristics and qualities sincerely with an open mind and reflect upon them, there could be no way that one would doubt his truthfulness, nor would one doubt the truthfulness of that which he has brought in the Quran and in the sunnah and ad-deen al-haq. And this is as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to those who rejected him, who knew him well, he lived amongst them a lifetime, and they knew him, and they knew his qualities and characteristics, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to them in their rejection of him in Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse 69, أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُ مُنْكِرُونَ. Yani, is it that they don't know, that they don't recognize their messenger, and therefore they deny him? Is it because they don't know him? They don't know, is he really truthful? Is he honest? What kind of character he had? Is it because they didn't know and therefore they rejected him? In fact, if they didn't know him, that might be a legitimate reason to reject him. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is rebuking them, because indeed they knew him. They knew him very well. They knew that he was truthful and that he was honest and that he was of the best of character. Trustworthy one. In fact, before he was missioned with prophethood, they had named him Al-Amin, the trustworthy one, the truthful one who could be trusted. Therefore, there was no reason for them to reject him or to reject that which he has brought. Here, the Shaykh says, after mentioning this ayat, is it that they don't recognize him, that they don't know their messenger, the one who has been sent to them from amongst them, and therefore they deny him and they reject his message? He says, the meaning of this question, it is a statement that knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam necessitates that a person would hasten in going forth, entering into iman. Those who didn't believe before, yani from amongst the disbelievers, if they came to know him, then they would immediately enter into iman. And those who already believed, then it would increase their iman. Yani both the disbelievers as well as the believers, in knowing about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the reality of his life and his qualities and characteristics, it would cause one who didn't believe before to believe, and it would cause the one who already believed to increase in iman. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Saba, chapter 34, verse 46, in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala encourages the people to reflect upon the condition, the circumstance and the situation and the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, those things which call to iman. Reflect upon his condition, and that reflecting upon his condition, it is an invitation to believing in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He said in this ayat, قُلْ إِنَّمَا أَعِذُكُمْ بِوَاحِدَةٍ. Say, verily, I encourage you with one thing, yani with one characteristic. I encourage you to act upon one thing. أن تقوموا لله مثنى وفرادى. That you stand up for the sake of Allah, for Allah alone. In twos or individually, yani in groups together reflecting upon this matter and investigating it, or individually questioning yourself, investigating this matter. ثُمَّ تَفَكَّرُوا. Then reflect upon, yani reflect upon what you have found. مَا بِصَاحِبُكُمْ مِنْ جِنَّةٍ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا نَظِيرٌ لَكُمْ بَيْنَ يَدَيْ عَذَابٍ شَدِيدٍ. That indeed, your companion, meaning the one who came from amongst you, who was raised amongst you and who you know well, صَاحِبُكُمْ, he doesn't have any jinn, yani he is not crazy, he is not insane. Rather, indeed, he is a warner to you, coming before a terrible punishment. In this ayah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to exhort them or to encourage them that they stand up for the sake of Allah, whether individually or collectively, and to reflect upon the life, history of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam amongst them, his character and his qualities. Indeed, he is not an insane person claiming that he has been sent by Allah. He is not insane. And they knew that there was nothing in his character and his qualities that indicated such. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is saying to them that I ask you to stand up for the sake of Allah based on one matter. That is to reflect upon and to investigate what he has been sent with justice. With justice. Don't believe what I am saying just because I say it. And don't reject what you are upon just because I call you to reject it. But reflect upon what I have come with justice and open-mindedness. And if it is true, then follow it. And if it is not, then reject it. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying here that if they would reflect upon the character of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with justice, then it would be clear to them that he is not a liar and he is not insane. Indeed, he is a warning of the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for those who reject him. Then he mentioned the saying of Allah in Surah Al-Qalam, chapter 68, verses 1 through 4. He said that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears upon the perfection of this messenger, yani the perfection or the completeness of the character of the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and the greatness of his morals, his akhlaq, and that he is the most perfect of creation, the most perfect of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And he says, swearing, noon wal qalami wa ma yasturun, by the pen and that which is written, مَا أَنْتَ بِنِعْمَةِ رَبِّكَ بِمَجْنُونَ. Indeed, you are not crazy. By the favor and the mercy of your Lord, indeed, you are not majnoon. وَإِنَّ لَكَ لَأَجْرًا غَيْرَ مَمْنُونَ. And indeed, there is for you an endless reward. وَإِنَّكَ لَعَلَى خُلُقٍ عَظِيمٍ. And indeed, you are upon a high standard or an exalted standard of character. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swears by the pen and that which is written that indeed the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is not majnoon. That what he said, it is the truth, that he has come as a warner from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and that his reward is with Allah. Indeed, he is upon an exalted standard of character. And that character is an indication of the truthfulness of the message that he has brought. Indeed, the Shaykh says that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the greatest caller to iman through his praiseworthy descriptions and through his good qualities or character or his natural disposition and through his beneficial and truthful sayings and through his correct actions or behavior. Yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he is the best and the most perfect of the callers to iman by his speech and by his action and by his character, by his every situation or circumstance, all of it is calling to iman. Indeed, it has been reported authentically in the Sahih from Aisha radiallahu anha that she was asked about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and she said, "Khuluquhu al-Qur'an," that his character is the Qur'an. That his character, it is based on what Allah has ordered and what Allah has prohibited. That whatever Allah has ordered, he has done it. and whatever Allah has prohibited, He has done it. Therefore, His character, it is the Quran. This shows the greatness of the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the testimony of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Lord of the worlds, and those who knew him best, that his character indeed was based upon that which he has called the people to. What he has called them to, he himself is the first to act upon it. Therefore, the Shaykh says, he is al-imam al-azam. He is the greatest imam. Yani every other imam is secondary. He is al-imam al-azam. There is no imam al-azam except the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Wal-qudwa al-akmal. And he is the most perfect model or example. There is no other model or example that is better or more complete or more perfect than the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Ahzab, chapter 33, verse 21, لَقَدَ كَانَ لَكُمْ فِي رَسُولِ اللَّهِ أُسْوَةٌ حَسَنًا. That indeed you have in the messenger of Allah the best example or pattern of conduct or model of behavior to be followed. And then he mentions the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hashr, chapter 59, verse 7, وَمَا آتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَحَاكُمْ عَنْهُ فَانْتَهُ. That whatever the messenger gives you, take it. And whatever he prohibits you, then leave it. That means all of what the Prophet ﷺ commands and all of what he prohibits, it is to be acted upon. It is to be observed and it is to be followed. All that he has commanded us with and all that he has prohibited us from. Then the Shaykh says the types of people that receive the truth and accept it. There are different types of people. There are those who Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them in-depth understanding. They have the ability to understand the characteristic that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to them, that immediately they can understand the truth and recognize it when they see it. And there are other people who might not immediately recognize it, but they have intelligence and they have the ability to investigate and to examine and to consider, and the open-mindedness, the fairness to recognize the truth when they see it and to reject falsehood. So the Shaykh, he says, indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has mentioned ulul albab, the people of understanding, the people who have good understanding, those who are the khawas al-khalq, the most special of the creatures. Yani Allah has singled them out and given them a special quality that they are the people of understanding who understand things immediately. And they are the ones who have said, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentioned in the Quran, in Surah Ali Imran, chapter 3, verse 193, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا. That, O our Lord, we have heard a caller. Yani that caller is noble prophet, the messenger of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ. He is calling to al-Iman. He is calling to Iman with his speech. Yani he's calling the people by speech. That is what we found today, that we are calling by speech. But the Prophet ﷺ, his call wasn't just by the tongue. He is calling by his speech. And he is calling by his character. And he is calling by his deeds. And he is calling by his deen, the whole of his deen. He is calling by his every situation or circumstance, his movement and his stillness, the whole of his life, all of it, whatever he says or does, even the lack of statement or the lack of action, all of it is a call to al-Iman. The whole of the character and life and example of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it is calling to al-Iman. They said, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنْ. That we heard the caller calling to Iman and saying, believe in your Lord, therefore we have believed. They heard the call of calling and they understood that the call was true and therefore they believed. These are the ulul albab, the people of understanding who Allah has given the special gift of understanding directly. Then the Shaykh, he says, as long as, explaining, yani discussing this ayat, he says, just as, or as long as al-Iman, it is the greatest of those things that a person can use to get near to Allah. It is the greatest means the wasail that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. For that reason, they used it as a means to get near to Allah. يعني تَوَصَّلُوا بِإِيمَانِهِمْ They did tawassul, getting near to Allah by their iman, so that Allah would eliminate their sins, that He would forgive their sins, and that He would grant them the lofty things they requested. So they said, رَبَّنَا إِنَّنَا سَمِعْنَا مُنَادِيًا يُنَادِي لِلْإِيمَانِ أَنْ آمِنُوا بِرَبِّكُمْ فَآمَنَّا Then they asked Allah, what did they want? رَبَّنَا فَغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَكَفِّرْ عَنَّا سَيِّئَاتِنَا وَتَوَفَّنَا مَعَ الْأَبْرَارِ After saying that they heard the caller calling to Iman, and they accepted that call, they recognized it and they believed in it, then they did tawassul. By that iman that they placed in Allah, they said, O Allah, based on our iman, then forgive us our sins and expiate for us our wrongdoings and resurrect us or raise us up with the abrar, the righteous. Then the Shaykh says that likewise there are other people who are fair-minded, who are just and fair, open-minded, who if they reflect upon a matter and they see that it is true, they will accept it. They will not reject it, but they will accept that which they recognize truth. For this reason, he said, الرجل المنصف, the one who is fair and just, open-minded, the one who doesn't have any intention except following the truth. Yani he has really a desire to follow the truth. He is not intending to follow his desires or follow his ancestors or follow what the people were upon, but he indeed has a desire simply to follow the truth. When the truth came to him, he said, simply by seeing the Prophet ﷺ or hearing what he says, that person will hasten to having iman in him and that which he has brought, and he would not doubt his message. Indeed, he said, many of them simply saw the noble face of the Prophet ﷺ, and they knew that it wasn't the face of a liar. Yani without hearing his message even, his face alone, it was the face of a person of truth. And therefore, simply by seeing his face, they knew that what came from the mouth of that one would not be anything except the truth. Therefore, they believed in him. Indeed, the Shaykh says, it was said to someone, or to some of them, why have you hastened to believe in Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam without even knowing what is his message? Yani why have you been hasty in accepting his message? Why didn't you first know what is he talking about and examine it more carefully before believing in it? And they said that he has not ordered with anything. He has not ordered to do anything that the intellect or the mind says, I wish that he had not ordered it. And he has not prohibited anything that the intellect or the mind says, I wish he had ordered us with it. Yani what he has ordered and what he has prohibited, it is in agreement with our mind, with our intellect. It is something that is reasonable, it is rational, it makes sense. It makes sense. Therefore, we have accepted it. So this person of rational mind, of intellect, has used as a proof, yani by Allah's favor, Allah has favored that person's intellect, yani indicated to him the truth and led him to the truth. He said he has used as a proof the goodness or the perfection of the Sharia of the Prophet ﷺ and its being in accordance and in agreement with the sound, healthy mind. They have used this as a proof of the correctness of his message, and therefore they have hastened to believe in him. Yani just because of the correctness and the goodness of his Sharia, of the law that he has brought, what he has ordered and what he has prohibited, it was sufficient for them to believe in what he has called to based on this alone. Because what the things that he ordered them with, it was rational, it makes sense. And the things he has prohibited them from, it makes sense, it is rational. For this reason, the king or the emperor of Rome, Heracl, he, when the message that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has brought, when it was described to him, yani what he has ordered the people with and what he has prohibited them from, when it was described to him, he used that as a proof. Yani the emperor of Rome, He used that as a proof that indeed this man who has brought these commandments and these prohibitions is of the greatest of the messengers. And he has confessed and acknowledged it in a clear way, but only his leadership and authority and fear of losing his chair, fear of losing his authority, yani, over those who were following him, only that prevented him from accepting the truth. While he acknowledged it openly that it was the truth, there was no doubt about it. And indeed, many of the people who came, who it became clear to them the truthfulness of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also they have been prevented from accepting the message due to the same reasoning, for fear of losing something of the worldly benefits, authority that they have in their societies. And indeed, the Shaykh says this is one of the greatest prohibitive factors of iman in the likeness of those who are in authority, those who have power and authority. The fear of losing their seat is one of the greatest things that prevented them from iman. As far as the hadith mentioning this incident of the emperor or the king of Rome, it is mentioned in a lengthy hadith that is reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim on the authority of Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, when Hiraqal, the emperor of Rome, entertained the delegation of Quraysh, and from amongst them was Abu Sufyan, before he had embraced Islam. And at that time, there was some discussion between them. The emperor, he called for those people to be brought to him, and when they were brought to him, he asked, is there anyone, or who is from amongst you, who is the closest in relation to that one who claims to be a prophet? And Abu Sufyan, radiallahu anhu, he came forward and he said, I am the closest in relation. The emperor said, bring him close to me. And he said, bring his companions also and let them stand behind him. And he told the translator to tell his companions to stand behind him, and if he tells anything that's not the truth, inform me. And Abu Sufyan, he said that indeed, if it were not for my fear that they would have acknowledged that I have lied, he said, I would have lied on the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I would have lied, but I didn't get any chance because for fear that they would call me a liar. So he told the truth. It is reported in that hadith, in a lengthy hadith, that the emperor, he said to the translator, to his translator, tell him, after he has had discussion with him and asked him a number of questions, he explained those questions that he has asked and the answers and what he understood from it. From amongst those questions, he said, I have asked you about his blood relations, yani his lineage. And you have mentioned that he is of the most noble of lineage. And this is indeed the situation of messengers, that they are sent from amongst their people with the best of lineage. Yani a messenger is not sent of some poor background, but he is sent from the best of the people that he is sent to. And I asked you, has anyone from amongst you said this? Yani, has anybody claimed what he is claiming before? And you said no. And then I understood from that. Yani, the emperor said, if there had been somebody who said it before, then I would say he is just following what the people before him have said. He is just following in the footsteps of someone else. And when I asked you about his ancestors, was anyone from amongst them a ruler or a king? And you said no. Then I say that had any of his ancestors had been a king before, then I would say he is just seeking the kingdom that was lost from his ancestors. And when I asked you, does anybody accuse him of being a liar? Yani before he has claimed what he is saying now, prophethood. And you said no, nobody has accused him of being a liar. And therefore I say, how can he lie on Allah, the Lord of the worlds, when he doesn't even lie on the people? And when I asked you, are the noble people or the weak and poor people following him? And you said, the poor people are following him. And I said, in this way, likewise, it is the followers of the messengers. They are from the weak and poor people. And when I asked you, are his followers increasing or decreasing? And you said, they are increasing. And I said, and I say that that is the matter of iman, yani that it increases and increases until it is perfected. And when I asked you, Does anyone turn back from his deen, being displeased with it, after they have entered it? And you said no. Yani Abu Sufyan, he was telling the truth in answering these questions, though he hated to say what he had said. But he was fearing that those behind him would call him a liar. So when he asked, are his followers increasing or decreasing, he had to tell the truth, that they are increasing. And he said that this is the way it is with Iman. And when I asked, does any of them abandon his religion after he has entered it? You said no. And I said, this is the way it is, that when the delight of Iman enters the hearts, they never turn back from it. And when I asked you, does he betray or violate trust? And you said no. So I said, likewise it is, that the messengers of Allah, they don't betray the trust that is given to them. When I asked you, what does he order you with? And you mentioned that he orders you to worship Allah and not to make anything as a partner with him. And he prohibits you from worshiping idols or false gods. And he orders you with salat and to be truthful and to be chaste. Indeed, if what you have said is the truth, and here the Emperor of Rome, he is saying, indeed, if what you have said is the truth, then he will take control. He will control that which is below or beneath my 2 feet, meaning that he will take over this seat. He will conquer this kingdom. And if I knew, and he said, I knew that he was coming, that a prophet was coming, but I didn't think that he would be from amongst you, meaning the Arabs. And if I knew that I could definitely reach him, then I would go to him even with hardship and difficulty. And if I were in his presence, then I would wash his 2 feet. This was the statement, or it is part of the hadith, a lengthy hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, in which the Emperor of Rome clearly states, and from what he understood, from what the message that the Prophet ﷺ has brought, and what he has ordered his people with, and what he has prohibited him from, indeed he said that this is clearly the Prophet, a prophet and a messenger, one of the greatest of the prophets and messengers. And indeed, he recognized by his fairness and by his intellect, by examining the message of the Prophet ﷺ, that indeed what he has brought is. However, it was due to his fear of losing his seat and his authority that he didn't embrace Islam and acknowledge his belief in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala alone. As for the people of insight and those who have correct intellect, indeed, they don't allow these prohibitive factors such as authority or doubtful matters or desires. They consider these things as being insignificant, and they don't consider them having any value to the extent that they could be a contradiction or a cause for a person to oppose the beneficial, authentic truth, that which brings about the fruits of happiness, as-sa'ada, in this world and in the next, now and later. Then the Shaykh says, in closing, he said that this is the greatest reason, yani for this reason, it is for this reason, and here he is talking about what he has mentioned here, knowing the life of the Prophet ﷺ, as well as knowing what is in the Quran and in the Sunnah. He said, it is for this reason that those who give attention and care to the Quran, حِفْظًا وَمَعْرِفَةً, yani memorizing it and knowing its meanings. And those who give attention and care to the authentic hadith, he said, they will be the greatest of people in Iman and Yaqeen. They will be greater than others. And they will be the best of people in action for the most part. Yani those who give care to the Quran and to the Sunnah, memorizing it and knowing its meaning, then in general, for the most part, they will be the greatest in Iman and the strongest in Yaqeen, and they will be the best in actions for the most part. Because this is a source of Iman, of strengthening of Iman and increasing of Iman. Then after this, after knowing the Prophet ﷺ, the Shaykh mentions that وَمِنْ أَسْبَابَ الْإِيمَانِ وَدَوَاعِيهِ, yani also from amongst the causes of Iman, and that which calls to or invites Iman is التَّفَكُّر فِي الْقَوْنِ, reflecting upon or pondering over the universe, reflecting upon what Allah has created in the heavens and the earth, and the various types of creations that are within them, and looking at with consideration the human being, looking at the human being himself and his characteristics or qualities that Allah has created him with, that indeed this is one of the things, it is a strong invitation calling to Iman, reflecting upon the heavens and the earth and what is in them, and the creation of the human being and his qualities, unique qualities and characteristics. Indeed, this is a strong invitation or call to Iman. And that is, if we consider these things that are in existence from the greatness of the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which indicate the qudra of the one who has created them. Yani, if we look at what Allah has created, the things that are existent, and the greatness of these creatures and these creations, indeed this is an indication of the qudra, or the power of the one who has created them, and the greatness of that one. So in the reflection and pondering over the creatures and the creation is that which indicates the greatness of the Creator who has created them, the greatness and the power of the Creator. And if we look at the goodness or the perfection and the precision and the regularity of the system in the universe that Allah has created, that which baffles and bewilders even the people of understand how it has been created and how does it function, if we consider these things, then also this is an indication of the vastness of the knowledge of Allah and the comprehensiveness of His wisdom. So in looking at the perfection and the precision and the regularity of Allah's creation, this also indicates the vastness of the ilm of Allah and the hikmah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If we look at the various types of beneficial things and the innumerable bounties which cannot be counted or enumerated, then also this is an indication of the vastness of the rahmah of Allah and the jood of Allah and the barra of Allah, yani the mercy of Allah and His generosity and His goodness. If we look at the various types of beneficial things and the innumerable, uncountable bounties, this is an indication of the vastness of the rahmah of Allah and the generosity of Allah and the goodness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. All of this, the Shaykh says, all of this calls one to ta'zeem, yani to the exaltation or the glorification of the one who has brought these things into existence, the one who has created these things. It calls one to exalt the Creator and to thank Him and to remember Him often and to make the deen purely for Him alone. Indeed, the reflection on these things, it is the spirit of Iman and the heart of Iman. Yani that one reflects upon the greatness of Allah's creatures and the excellence and perfection and precision of Allah's the system that He has created in this universe, and the innumerable various types of bounties and blessings and beneficial things that He has given. All of this calls one to glorify Allah and to thank Allah and to remember Allah and to make the deen purely for Him alone. Likewise, the Shaykh says here, if anyone looks at the condition of the creatures and the created beings, all of them, how they are in need and they are forced to turn to, for the fulfillment of their needs, to turn to their Lord in every situation and circumstance, and that they are not free of need of Him even for the blinking of an eye. If anybody reflects upon this, especially what one sees in one's own self, how one is in need, يعني how one is in need of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the severity of one's need and reliance and dependence upon Allah alone. Also, this is an indication, or it is that which necessitates the perfection of submission. Yani that one submits totally and completely to Allah. And the increase of supplication and the turning to Allah for one's needs to achieve those things that one is in need of for the benefit of his deen, his religious life as well as his worldly life. And to repulse or to protect him from that which is harmful to him in his deen and in his worldly life. And it also necessitates that he has a greater tawakkul or reliance upon his Lord. And it causes him to have a complete or perfection of trust in the promise of his Lord. And it also increases the severity of his desire for the goodness and the bounty and the favor and the generosity of his Lord. And in this way, al-Iman is achieved. And one's servitude to Allah is strengthened. For indeed, the dua or supplication, it is the essence or the heart of ibadah. It is the essence of it, the essence of ibadah. So here the Shaykh, he is saying that when we look at our need for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His greatness and His and the bounties that He has given, then also this necessitates that a person surrender and submit to Allah and that they supplicate Him to realize their needs and to avoid the harmful things. And it also makes a person to become more reliant and to put their trust in Allah and to have hope in the goodness of Allah that He has given to His creatures. And in this way, a person realizes al-Iman and one's condition or situation or relationship of worship of Allah, it is strengthened, for indeed, dua is the essence of ibadah. After this, the Shaykh mentions another of those things which are the sources of iman or the reasons or the causes for strengthening and increasing of man. And he says from amongst them, it is tafakkur fi kathrati ni'amillah wa ala'ihi al-'ama wal-khasa. Reflection upon the blessings of Allah, the multiple blessings of Allah and the favors of Allah, which are general and which are special. Yani those which are general, the bounties and favors of Allah, which are for the believers as well as the disbelievers. Yani Allah gives of His bounties to the believers as well as the disbelievers. Those innumerable bounties that Allah gives, which are general for all of humanity, those who believe and those who disbelieve. And then those bounties which Allah gives specifically, al-khasa, that are special for the Ahlul Iman, the believers. And these innumerable bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are such that no one of the creatures can be without need of them or free from them, even for a single moment. And this is another invitation or call to Iman, reflecting upon the bounties of Allah and His favors, that which is general for humanity and that which is specific for the believers. It is an invitation and a call to al-Iman. For this reason, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has called on His Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the believers to be thankful to Him. Yani to reflect upon His bounties and be thankful to Him. For indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 172, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا قُلُوا مِنْ طَيِّبَاتِ مَا رَزَقَنَاكُمْ وَاشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ إِن كُنْتُمْ إِيَّاهُ تَعْبُدُونَ. O you who believe, eat from the good things, the طيبات, the wholesome things which Allah, which we have provided for you. وَاشْكُرُوا لِلَّهِ, and be thankful to Allah, if indeed it is He, Allah, whom you worship. Here in this ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is calling those who have iman to be thankful for what Allah has given. If it is indeed Allah whom they worship, then whatever Allah has given, one should reflect upon it, acknowledge it, and express gratitude and thankfulness for such. Indeed, the Shaykh says that al-Iman It calls for shukr. And if a person has iman, then it invites him to be thankful. Because indeed the true believer knows that whatever bounties he has, and they are innumerable, he knows that it is from Allah. Therefore, iman, true iman, requires and necessitates and calls the person to a shukr, thankfulness. And a shukr, gratitude and thankfulness, it is through it that iman grows and increases. Yani iman grows and increases through iman, through shukr, through thankfulness, through gratitude. Therefore, the Shaykh says that each of these two things, iman and ash-shukr, they are mulazim wa malzum. Yani kullun minhuma mulazim wa malzum lil-akhir. Yani that al-iman and shukr, their relationship is that each of them to the other is mulazim. Yani each one of them must stick to the other. And each one of them is to the other the thing that is stuck to. Yani you say mulazim to the one who sticks to something. So iman sticks to shukr. And likewise shukr sticks to iman. And malzum, you say malzum is that which one sticks to. So the thing that is stuck to, it is iman in reference to shukr. And the thing that is stuck to is shukr in reference to iman. Yani their relationship is reciprocal. Both of them stick to the other in this way. So that iman, if a person has iman, it is of necessity that he must be thankful to Allah. And if a person is thankful to Allah, it is through this gratitude that his iman increases and grows. Indeed, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَئِن شَكَرْتُمْ لَيَزِيدَنَّكُمْ وَلَئِن كَفَرْتُمْ إِنَّ عَذَابِي لَشَدِيدٌ. That if you were thankful, then I will increase you. Yani increase you in your bounties and favors. And if you are ungrateful, then indeed my punishment is severe. Here are the words that are used in this ayat, لَإِن شَكَرْتُمْ شُكْرًا. Shukra here, it means al-iman. Yani if you are thankful, meaning if you have true iman and you express your gratitude to Allah because of that iman, then Allah will increase you in His bounties. وَلَإِن كَفَرْتُمْ. Here kufr, it means ingratitude, because kufr is the opposite of shukra. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used these expressions, shukr and kufr, gratitude and ingratitude. And also it means iman and kufr, because these two are related to one another. The one who has iman indeed would be thankful to Allah, and the one who is ungrateful to Allah is the one who has fallen. Another of the causes of iman, وَمِنْ أَسْبَابِ دَوَاعِي الْإِيمَانِ. Yani of the causes which call to iman, of those things which cause yani one to be called to iman, he said, al iktharu min dhikrillah kull waqtin wa min ad-du'a alladhi huwa mukh al-ibadah. Yani al ikthar min dhikrillah, also of those things which cause and call to iman, it is increase in the mentioning of Allah, abundance of the mentioning of Allah, dhikrullah, at every time. And also the abundance of supplicating Allah, ad-du'a, yani ad-dhikr wa-ad-du'a. And he said that du'a, it is the heart of ibadah, or the essence of al-ibadah. And the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, which is sahih, its wording is ad-du'a huwa al-ibadah. Yani that du'a, it is itself ibadah, yani it is the ibadah. It is the most important ibadah, or it is the essence of al-ibadah. So these two things, al-dhikr wa du'a, he said that these also are callers to iman. Then he said that verily the remembrance of Allah, dhikrullah, it plants the tree of iman in the heart. And dhikrullah, it nourishes that tree of iman. And dhikrullah develops and causes that tree to grow. It is remembrance of Allah that plants the tree of iman. And it nourishes that tree and it develops it and causes it to grow. As much as the person increases in the dhikr of Allah, to that extent his iman will be strong. Likewise, in the same way, al-iman called to the increase of remembrance. Yani, just as the remembrance of Allah increases and strengthens one's iman, for likewise iman, its relationship with al-dhikr. It is that iman calls one to remember Allah. The one who has iman, it calls him to remember Allah. For whoever loves Allah, then that person would increase in the remembrance of Allah. The one who loves Allah, he would remember Allah more and more. Therefore, the one who has iman, it causes him to remember Allah. Because the one who has iman loves Allah. And the one who loves someone, he remembers that one. So whoever loves Allah, he remembers Allah more. Indeed, he said, the love of Allah, it is iman. It is indeed the heart or the spirit of iman. Al-mahabba. So whoever loves Allah, then they would increase in the remembrance of Allah. Therefore, iman calls to the remembrance of Allah, and the remembrance of Allah increases one's iman. So likewise, the relationship between al-dhikr and al-du'a to iman is that they are sticking to one another, and they call to one another. Yani, iman requires of a person to remember Allah much, and the remembrance of Allah increases their iman. Then the Shaykh mentions the last of what we will mention this evening, the last of the causes. He said, وَمِنَ الْأَسْبَابِ الْجَالِبَةِ لِلْإِيمَانِ. And from amongst those causes, those things which call to iman, or which achieve or bring forth al-iman, he said, it is ma'arifati mahasin al-deen. It is knowing the beautiful aspects of the deen. Then from amongst those things that bring forth iman, or that achieve iman, it is knowing the beautiful aspects of deen of Allah, the mahasin of al-Islam. Indeed, the deen of Islam, the whole of it is mahasin. Yani, everything in Islam, it is beautiful. Every aspect of it is good. It is not just that there are some aspects that are good and one should know about those good aspects of the deen, but the whole of the deen is good. However, the Shaykh is saying, yani, to emphasize knowing some of those important mahasin of Islam, because in knowing those things and reflecting upon them, this is also a means or a cause that calls to al-Iman. He said the whole of the deen of Islam, it is mahasin, it is beautiful or good aspects. And he mentioned specifically here four areas. And the Shaykh has written a book also about the mahasin of Islam, and in that book he has mentioned a number of the beautiful aspects of Islam. Here he has mentioned four general categories. He said that the aqidah or the aqaid of Islam, it is the most correct and the most authentic of beliefs, and it is the most truthful of beliefs, and it is the most beneficial of beliefs. Yani, the aqidah islamiyah, it is the most authentic, it is the most truthful, and it is the most beneficial aqidah. Not like the aqidah of other religions, the false religions. Also he said the akhlaq of Islam, the character, yani the moral standards of Islam are the most praiseworthy of character. And it is the most beautiful of character. If we look at that akhlaq that Islam calls to, that which came in the Quran and in the Sunnah, then we will see that it is the best and the most praiseworthy and the most beautiful of characters. Likewise, he said, أَعْمَالُهُ يعني the actions of this deen, the ibadah, as well as other aspects of those things which a person does, actions, whether actions of the heart or actions of the body part. Amal of Islam, the amal that a Muslim is required to do in Islam, it is the best of actions, better than that which is required by the people of other religions, the false religions. And it's ahkam, he said, the legal rulings or the legal system in Islam, the ahkam of Islam are the best ahkam and the most just of ahkam. If we look at the laws of Islam, whether it is those laws that are related to business or government or punishments, we can see that these rulings, these legal rulings and judgments and laws of Islam, they are the best of laws and they are the most just for the whole of the society as well as the individual. So here the Shaykh says that the aqidah, as well as the akhlaq, as well as the amal, as well as the ahkam of Islam are the best better than in any other way of life. So whoever takes this, whoever looks, yani with this view, looks to Islam, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will beautify his iman. He will beautify the iman that is in the heart of the servant. When he looks at the beauties of Islam, it would cause the beautification and the adornment of the iman that is in the heart of that one who looks at with consideration these mahasin of Islam. And he will also cause that person to love this deen more. When he looks at its beautiful aspects, it will cause the deen to become endeared to him and beloved to him. And this is, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has favored, the best of his creatures, that is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and his sahaba, his companions, radiallahu anhum ajma'in. Allah has favored them when he said in Surah Al-Hujurat chapter 49 verse 7, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. Yani talking to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and sahaba, he said, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ حَبَّبَ إِلَيْكُمُ الْإِيمَانَ. Allah has made the iman beloved to you. He has made it something that you are attracted to and that you love. It is not a burden on you, but it is something that you are in love with. It is endeared to you. Allah has made love in the heart of the believers for al-iman. وَزَيَّنَهُ فِي قُلُوبِكُمْ. And he has beautified it. He has adorned it in your hearts. Yani the iman, it is adorned. It is adorned by correct belief, and it is adorned by the actions of the heart of love and hope and fear. And it is adorned by the actions of the body parts of worshipping Allah and obeying Him and avoiding those things which Allah has prohibited. Therefore, the Shaykh says that the iman, which is in the heart, it is the greatest of those things that are loved. And it is the most beloved of those things that anyone loves. And it is the most beautiful of all things. And in this way, and whoever's iman is beautified in their heart and it is endeared to him, in that way the servant of Allah will taste halawat al-iman. He will taste the sweetness of iman and he will find it in his heart. And in that way, he said, the inner person, al-batin, it is beautified by the usul of iman, wa haqa'iqihi. Yani the usul, the fundamentals of iman and the realities of iman beautify the inner person. And as for the jawarih, the external parts, the body parts or the limbs of the human being, they are beautified by the actions of iman. Yani the fundamentals, the usul of iman beautify the inner being. And the actions of iman, meaning the deeds, the acts of worship, they beautify the outward part of the person. The actions of iman and the usul of iman, they are all part of iman and they are necessary for the beautification of the inner being as well as the outer being. Then the Shaykh closes with the dua that has been reported in the sunnah, and it is sahih on the authority of Ammar ibn Yasir رضي الله عنه, reported by Imam Ahmed and Nasai and Al-Hakim, who said that it was sahih, and Al-Dhahabi also agreed with him, and Al-Hafidh ibn Rajab also mentioned it in a complete essay that he has written concerning the explanation of this hadith, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, اللهم زينا بزينة الإيمان, اللهم زينا بزينة الإيمان, O Allah, adorn us with the adornment of iman. InshaAllah, we'll stop for the adhan. After the adhan, we'll take the questions from the handout and any questions or comments.
Bismillah, wassalatu wassalamu rasulillah.
Yani the Shaykh Abd Rahman al-Sa'di, rahimahullah, rahmatan wasi'ah, he closed this section, the last of the aspects of those things which call to iman and strengthen iman, the knowing about the beautiful aspects of the deen of Allah. He closed it by mentioning the authentic supplication of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, in which he supplicated, Allahumma zayyina bizinatil iman, O Allah, adorn us or beautify us with the beautification or the adornment of iman, yani the actions of iman, inwardly and outwardly. Adorn us with the adornment of iman. The adornment of iman, yani it is one's actions outwardly and inwardly. Allahumma zayyina bizinatil iman. Instead of with the adornment of beautiful clothing, but what is better than that is the adornment of iman. وَجْعَلْنَا هُدَاتًا مُهْتَدِينَ. And make us hudatan, guides, yani those who guide others. Muhtadeen, those who are rightly guided. Make us those who guide others and who are rightly guided. Allahumma zayyina bi zinatil iman waj'alna hudatan muhtadeen. This is the end of what we mentioned this evening. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. And quickly we can look at the questions at the end of the handout, and then after that if there are any questions or comments or corrections we can take them. And in the first question mentioned some of those things which iman is derived from or caused by or strengthened through. And from amongst that which the Shaykh has mentioned, what we have discussed this evening, it is knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, knowing his life history and his characteristics and qualities. Then he mentioned at-tafakkur fil qawn, yani consider pondering over or reflecting upon the creation and what Allah has created in the heavens and the earth and the creatures as well as the human being. And then he mentioned reflecting upon the innumerable bounties and favors of Allah, which whoever has iman, if they reflect upon them, it would call him to be thankful, as shukra, and as shukra increases and grows iman. Then he said, increasing in the dhikr of Allah and a du'a, yani remembering Allah much and supplicating Him, and likewise a dhikr wa du'a, it is one of the causes of increase in iman. Indeed, whoever has iman loves Allah, and the one who loves Allah would remember Allah much, and the remembrance of Allah increases iman. And finally he said, knowing about the mahasin of the deen, yani the beautiful aspects of the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Those in addition to what we have mentioned previously, yani before this lecture. The second question, how can knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam's life history be a source of iman? Yani Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di rahimahullah says that indeed, if somebody knows the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, the details of his life, his history, his actions, his qualities and his character, whoever knows this complete and perfect character and the qualities of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that person would never doubt the truthfulness of that person who was a truthful person, an honest person, an upright person, and so on, with all the best of qualities. Whoever knew that, then they would never doubt his truthfulness nor the truthfulness of that which he has brought. Indeed, knowing the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam necessitates that a person who did not believe in him would believe in him, and whoever believes in him would be increased in iman. Number three, mention the ayat of the Quran supporting this point. The ayat that the Shaykh mentions from Surah Al-Mu'minun, chapter 23, verse 69, أَمْ لَمْ يَعْرِفُوا رَسُولَهُمْ فَهُمْ لَهُمْ مُنْكِرُونَ. Is it that they don't recognize or know their messenger and therefore they deny him? Is it because they don't know him? Indeed, if they knew him, they could not deny him. Question number four, how has the khuluq or the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam been described in the Quran and in the Sunnah? In the Quran, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala swore by the pen and by that which is written, and he said, yani in the end of those ayats in Surah Al-Qalam, chapter 68, verses 1 through 4, wa innaka la'ala khuluqin azim, that indeed you, meaning the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is on an exalted standard of character. And in the Sunnah, the hadith of Aisha radiallahu anha, in which when she was asked about the character of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, she said, khuluquhu al-Quran, that indeed his character is the Quran. Question number five, what was the basis of the acknowledgement of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam by the Roman emperor? Yani the basis of his acknowledgement of the prophethood of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it was when that which he has ordered the people with and prohibited them from, and what he calls to, the aqidah that he has called them to, when it was described to him and explained to him, then he used that as a basis for his conclusion that indeed this man must have been the greatest of the messengers. Indeed, he said, we knew that he was coming, but we didn't think that he would be from amongst you. It was through the perfection of the law of the Sharia of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and it's being in agreement with the sound mind that a rational and fair-minded person could indeed conclude that his message is the truth and his deen is the true religion. Question number 6 mentioned the three general aspects of Allah's sifat mentioned by the author as being indicated by a tafakkur fil qawm, pondering over what Allah has created in the universe. And in those three general aspects that the Shaykh has mentioned, he said if we reflect upon the greatness of the creatures and the creation that Allah has created, then this indeed would be an indication of the qudra or the power of the one who has created it and the greatness of that one who created it. And whoever reflects upon the perfection and the precision and the regularity of the system that Allah has created and that this universe is subjected to, then this would be an indication of the vastness of the ilm of Allah, the knowledge of Allah, and the comprehensiveness of His hikmah. And whoever reflects upon the innumerable beneficial things and the great number of bounties which are uncountable, which Allah has given to His servants, then this indeed would be an indication of the rahmah of Allah, His mercy and His generosity and His goodness. Question number 7, what does this at-tafakkur fil qawm lead the one who engages in it to? Yani at-tafakkur, pondering over the creation, leads one to what? The Shaykh, Shaykh Abdul Rahman al-Sa'di, he said that indeed reflecting and pondering over the creation and the greatness of it and its system and the bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said that this calls to the ta'zeem, the glorification of the one who created it. And it also calls one to ash-shukra, to be thankful. And it calls one to al-dhikr, to remember Allah much. And it calls one to ikhlas ad-deen lahu. It causes one to make the deen purely for Him alone, the one who has created all of this and who has given all of these bounties. Indeed, it causes one to be submissive and subservient to Allah and to put their trust in Him, to rely on Him, and to have hope in Him. And this is one of the means of achieving al-Iman. Number 8, discuss the author's explanation of the relationship between al-Iman and thankfulness in reflecting upon the bounties of Allah. The Shaykh rahimahullah said that whoever reflects upon the innumerable bounties of Allah, those which are for the creatures in general and those which are specifically for the believers, indeed this calls to Iman. Reflecting upon this calls one to have Iman in the one who has given all of these bounties. He said the relationship between al-Iman and shukra, he said that Iman calls one to be thankful. Yani, if anyone reflects upon the bounties of Allah, it would cause them to have Iman in Allah. And whoever has Iman in Allah, knowing that He is the one who has given these bounties, then he would be thankful to Allah. And indeed, it is through thankfulness and gratitude, as shukra, that Iman is increased. Therefore, Iman calls to shukra, thankfulness. And shukra increases Iman. Therefore, these two stick to one another. Question number 9, how has the author explained the relationship between Iman and dhikr, remembrance of Allah? The Shaykh says that dhikr, it plants the tree of Iman in the heart of the believers and nourishes it and develops it. As much as a person increases in Iman, in dhikr of Allah, then his Iman will increase. Al-Iman calls to increase in the remembrance of Allah. Whoever has Iman, it calls him to increase in the remembrance of Allah. Because Iman, it is based upon, and the essence of Iman, it is love of Allah. So whoever loves Allah, then they would remember Allah. Whoever loves Allah would remember Allah more and more. Therefore, Iman calls one to remember Allah, and the remembrance of Allah increases one's Iman. The last question mentions some of the general areas of Mahasin al-Din, or the beautiful aspects of al-Iman, of al-Islam. The Shaykh mentioned 4 general areas. And aqeedah, in the belief system, that if we examine the belief system of Islam, we will see that it is one of the greatest of the beautiful aspects of Islam and its superiority over other religions. And likewise, the akhlaq, or the character that Islam calls for, it is also the of character, and its deeds, its actions, its ibadah is the best of ibadah, and its ahkam are the best and most perfect, the most complete and the most just of legal rulings or laws. And all, and these are 4 general areas, and the specifics of them need to be examined in order to really appreciate what he has mentioned here in this one paragraph, that knowing the mahasin of the deen of Islam, indeed it is one of the causes that calls one to Iman, and it increases one's Iman. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك أشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت أستغفرك وأتوب إليك. If there are any comments or questions or corrections, quickly. We can take a couple of questions. If the sisters have any questions, please call us. The relationship between taqwa and al-iman. Well, these are words that, as some of the scholars have said, that they are used interchangeably. However, if they are used together, then they have different meanings. Al-iman is general, and taqwa is more specific. The specific meaning of taqwa, as some of the scholars have given it, and there are various meanings, is that taqwa, it is the consciousness of Allah, which enables a person, and it encourages them, and it drives them, and carries them, to fulfill Allah's commands and to avoid His prohibitions. So at taqwa, it is iman also, because iman is obeying Allah's commands and avoiding His prohibitions. So the relationship between taqwa and iman is that whoever has iman, they would fear Allah. They would be conscious of Allah. And that consciousness of Allah, it would cause them to avoid what He has prohibited, to avoid His displeasure and His anger and His punishment. And whoever has iman, they would be encouraged and motivated to obey His commands. So whoever avoids Allah's prohibitions and obeys His commands, that person will be increased in iman, because the fulfilling of Allah's commands, it is actions that are pleasing to Him, that is increase in iman. So the relationship between them, it is the same, that iman calls a person to have taqwa, to have consciousness of Allah, to think about Allah and to fear Allah's prohibitions and to fulfill His commands. Does that, whoever fulfills Allah's commands, it increases their iman. So the relationship is also reciprocal. Wallahu a'lam. If there's any question from the sisters, they can call us. Brothers, have any question? Fine. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika. Ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.